If you ever heard Bella Abzug, lawyer, congresswoman, activist, humanist, even once, you'd remember her voice forever.
This movement, which I hope we can carry back to the cities and the states and organize as hard as we can, is a serious and a far-reaching movement with long-term goals. We will settle for nothing less in the ultimate than equal representation in all levels of political power. We will.
It's hard not to think about that voice now, 10 years after her death, with women's political voices so much in evidence.
That voice was overwhelming.
Suzanne Braun Levine is co-author with Mary Tom of an oral history book entitled Bella, How One Tough Broad from the Bronx Fought Jim Crow and Joe McCarthy, Pissed Off Jimmy Carter, Battled for the Rights of Women and Workers, Rallied Against War and For the Planet, and Shook Up Politics Along the Way.
The power of her convictions was awesome, especially in the 70s when what we were struggling with was helping women find their voices. And here was this gigantic voice.
When the authors set out to write the book on Bella, they began by talking to people.
People who had worked with her, people who had loved her, people who hated her, like Ed Koch, or Norman Mailer, who said her voice could burn the fat off a cab driver's neck. And every single person we interviewed had a Bella story, and they would tell them with a Bella voice, go down, you know, a notch, hello, what do you mean you're going to, you're idiot, they're all idiots. And you could see as they told the stories that the energy of Bella's persona was alive, was contagious.
I know the feeling. Poking around in the audio archives in search of Bella's speeches and interviews from the 1970s on, just listening to her, I had a hard time turning off the tapes.
Women political leaders must also represent the greatness and the diversity of America, and that it is certainly not my purpose to replace or supplement a white male middle-class elite with a white female middle-class elite.
Bella Abzug was born in the Bronx in 1920 to Russian Jewish immigrants with a social conscience. They believed their daughter could do anything. What she wanted to do was study law.
Somehow in my mind, if I became a lawyer, I could set everything right.
With the law in mind, Bella did what any ambitious prospective law student would do. She wrote a letter to Harvard Law School, requesting an application.
And Harvard wrote a letter back to me, and they said, sorry, we don't accept women. And I was outraged. I always have had a decent sense of outrage. I said to my mother, isn't this an outrage that these people don't want me to go to their law school just because I'm a woman?
And her mother said, what do you need Harvard for? You'll go to Columbia. It's close by. They'll probably give you a scholarship, and it'll only cost a nickel to get there.
So everything happened as she said. I went to Columbia. They gave me a scholarship, and it only cost 5 cents on the subway.
Amazingly, after a long career as an impassioned lawyer and activist, working outside the system to achieve gains for minorities and women, Abzug ran for Congress so she could work in the system.
She totally changed her life at age 50.
Eve Abzug, the older of Bella's two daughters, is a public policy administrator and advocate.
She worked for all these liberal guys and trying to get them elected, and so why am I doing this? I might as well run myself. And she would always tell us that you have to just not give in. You know, you can do whatever you want to do.
Bella ran, she won, and she worked.
She introduced the first child care bill. She introduced the Freedom of Information Act.
And that's not all.
Then she included a clean water bill. And then she put in a petition for the impeachment of the president.
Among many other things, her record speaks for itself. But to hear Bella speak, that's what can really hook you. Especially one particular speech she made to the first National Women's Political Caucus meeting 37 years ago, 1971.
I wonder about the kind of America we could create if we had a truly representative Congress. Suppose that instead of just the 11 of us women in the House, there were more than 200. Instead of just one in the Senate, there were 50. And suppose that instead of only 12 blacks, there were 5 times as many, and that spokesmen and women for the Chicanos and the American Indians and Asians and other minorities Americans were also there. And suppose Instead of having middle-aged old men on Capitol Hill, more than half of our representatives were young, under the age of 35. I believe that such a Congress would never tolerate the countless laws on the books that discriminate against women in all phases of their lives. But more than that, does anyone think that with that kind of representation we would have reached the twilight of this 20th century without a national health care system for all Americans? Would a Congress with adequate representation of women and other groups allow this country to rank 14th in infant mortality rate among the developed nations of the world?
Bella was a politician, a famously tough one, but Bella Abzug, oddly enough, was also an artist. It's one thing to make an assault on an opponent, slice him in two, leave ideas behind, leave truth behind, and grab headlines. It's quite another to uplift and inform people as you speak, or to use humor to make a real point, to give real performances, both genuine and polished. Abzug was one in a million politicians who artfully created a powerful character in herself, a character of undeniable integrity right to the top of her trademark hats. Bella believed in the old-fashioned idea that no one is free until everyone is free.
Some of you may have remembered in the last session of Congress, Congressman Emanuel Sella talked about the fact that women, ever since we were made out of Adam's rib, were different psychologically, economically, and politically, and nothing in the world was ever going to change it. Equal rights amendment or no. Why, we were not even at the Last Supper. When this was reported to me, I went up to Manny, whom is what I call him, and I said, Manny, we may not have been at the Last Supper, but you can be sure that we're going to be at the next one.
That was Bella, forever the artfully unstoppable. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.